1, if you'll look there with me, Joshua chapter 1, and I want you to look at 9 verses that we'll read here. We've entitled today's message, A Time for Courage, A Time for Courage. If you're able to stand, let's stand together one more time as we look at this passage of Scripture, beginning in Joshua chapter 1, and verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servants of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over, that is, cross over this Jordan, you and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, that is, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast, your territory, in other words. Verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, God says, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of, of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear that I swore unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous. Thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. In other words, he's saying you'll have success wherever you go. Then he says in verse 8 and 9, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe, that is, to be careful to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Let us pray together. Father, once again we bow before your holy throne. Lord, as a needy people that's here today, God, you've made it possible again to where we can come in a nice, comfortable place, a setting to where we can, Lord, yes, honor you for the God that you are, for the one that loves us and has proven that love tremendously, Lord, when you died on the cross for us. And Lord, I do pray, Father, that you would bless in the preaching now of your word, that, Lord, that we would open our hearts and our minds to the message you have for each and every one of us. Lord, there's some that would love to be in church today but could not be here for maybe physical reasons, or, Lord, there may be other matters that's going on in their life to where they're hindered. Lord, we know around the world there are people that are not able to gather like we're privileged to do in America, to worship. And Lord, we thank you for the freedoms that you give us to do so. And Lord, may we never take for granted the opportunity that we have been given. And Lord, may now you would just speak to hearts, and may we respond in the manner you would have us to respond. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Brother Frank.
Thank you, Brother Frank. Joshua chapter 1, we've entitled today's message, A Time for Courage, which the opposite of that, or actually what really causes us to ask for courage is really the word fear. I've been in situations where I have been afraid before. How many of you, this week, something caused you to fear? Be fearful of. You see something? I saw something yesterday that I hadn't seen in a long time. I was out with my dog yesterday, and we were just going through the neighborhood. And And I saw another man had a big old dog walking it, and he kept pointing this way, pointing down. And I didn't know at first what he was pointing at, but I stopped and I looked, and of course, he was pointing at a snake. I stood there, and it was a big old snake. Now, I'm a good 20 feet away, but I wasn't about to go up to that snake. And so there was a gentleman rode by in his truck, and I asked him if he had something in the back of his truck that could kill that snake. And he pulls out a hatchet. I mean, he was ready. I didn't know this guy. I just told him, I said, there's a snake right down here. He goes to his truck like, man, he was looking for a challenge. So he did. He had a big old hatchet about that long. He pulls it out, and he just nonchalant just walks up and just goes up and chops the snake's head off. Now, my fear was gone. All right? I don't like snakes. I guess I get that from my mama. All right? Now, you know, I speak of the subject of fear a little bit because, you know, it takes a little bit of courage to deal with things like that, right? For all of us, fear is a crippling emotion sometimes, especially for men. Men don't like to admit sometimes that they're afraid or fearful of things, but maybe that's that ego that we all battle with as men. But the Lord never, really, when you think of it, the Lord never intended his children to dread the future. As we see here in our text this morning, Joshua was told that his future was really starting to begin something on a new track of life that he had never been part of before. But it was going to take great courage on his part. You know, sometimes, you know, we are faced with situations that we've never been faced with before. And that happens maybe on a weekly basis. You know, some of you that maybe the first time that that child was brought into the world, that first child, I remember Jeremy, our first child being born. It was an exciting time, but for a dad, it was a fearful time to some degree because I realized the responsibility that now fell on my shoulder. Especially when we brought him home from the hospital and as we tried to take care of him at night and during the day. And, you know, as a dad, there's a great deal of responsibilities. And I know this is Father's Day and Dad, you know, of course, can all relate to maybe what I'm saying here. That's a different fear. We don't share those type fears sometimes because, you know, of maybe the pride or maybe the ego, but fear can be a crippling emotion. But again, the Lord never intended for his children to dread the future or maybe what God has for us as his children. Although sometimes we may feel afraid at times, that's a normal emotion, but we should never let fear control us. Would you agree with that? Never. Because God said very plain and clear that God does not give his children the spirit of fear. Now, one of my favorite passages that we read is in Joshua 1:9. And pretty much I'm going to paraphrase what Joshua is saying here, what God is saying to Joshua here. And he says, be strong and be courageous, Joshua, is what he's saying. Be strong and courageous. In other words, don't tremble, don't be dismayed. He says, simply for the Lord your God is going to be with you wherever you choose to go. Now, that should bring comfort, right? Which for any child of God, it should. Because that's the promise that God gives. The promise that God gave Joshua that day is no less true for us right now. That same promise applies for every one of us as we face the future. And we all are facing the future. The past is gone. There's nothing that we can undo about yesterday, take back. We might want to undo some things or make it better. Now, we can learn from the past, but the past is gone. But we need to look in the future with courage.
as God was telling Joshua, and he was saying very simply, there's no need to fear when we lean on the power and the presence of Almighty God. You see, God, in His faithfulness, He takes care of His followers.
God takes care of His children, does He not? It's by simply, as He's saying to Joshua here, giving us the assurance of His staying sufficiency. That God will never leave us. God never will forsake us. He doesn't abandon us when the going gets tough. He doesn't quit whenever He supposedly gets tired. We like to kind of think that sometimes God gets tired. God doesn't get tired. He's God. We get tired. We get physically tired, emotionally tired, drained. I mean, you know, there's a number of things that come at us. But God, we cannot, let me just say this. We can appreciate the fact that God never experiences the same things that we experience emotionally. If He did, then boy, we wouldn't have a God that we can depend on, right? God is a God that gives us that courage. And that's what He was relating to Joshua. Why did Joshua need courage, you might ask? Well, Joshua had seen how the people rebelled against Moses. Joshua needed courage because he saw how the people rebelled against Moses. Now, Moses was God's man. You go back and you read about Moses, and you'll find that God had chose Moses to lead the children out of Israel, out of bondage. Now, Joshua was in charge of leading them to take them to the promised land from the skilled warriors. But, you know, see, Moses had to put up with a lot. Matter of fact, that's why that original group that came out of the promise, out of Egypt, didn't make it into the promised land. They didn't make it. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And what did they do quite often? Griped and complained. And Moses, the leader that God had chosen, had to listen to a lot of that. And why? Because they would not necessarily direct their gripes and complaints to God, but yet they directed their gripes and complaints to the man of God, which Moses didn't want the job anyway. If you remember, when God came to Moses and told Moses, I want you, and I'm paraphrasing, He wanted Moses to be the one that leads the children of Israel out of Egypt. Moses, as God began to tell him what he was going to be required to do, Moses, if you remember, began to make excuses of why he was not the man. I mean, he even said, I'm a stutterer. I'm not one to speak well. And, you know, and then it got so bad for Moses as a leader of the children of God. In Numbers chapter 11, he even prayed in Numbers chapter 11, God, go ahead and kill me and take me out of here. I mean, that's how bad it was at times. Now, Joshua was the man that was going to have to step up, be next in line, which God had chosen to take the children from being in the wilderness into the promised land. Can you imagine maybe what was going through Joshua's mind after he had already seen what Moses had went through? Joshua had seen how Moses was treated as a leader. He also realized that he must now be that spiritual leader. And so what was it going to take for Joshua? It was going to take courage. It was going to take courage, much like it takes for dads. Listen, God requires of men, and we need more men today, listen, that would have the courage to stand up and be something for God. We've got a bunch of wimps in our nation today when it comes to men. We really do. I mean, you see some of this junk on television. I mean, you got men that are marching in these women's groups with all kind of signs and banners and haircuts and whatever that just try to look like women. Men that who want to, for some reason, be women. I don't understand that. And, you know, well, you got it on the other side as well. But listen,
Now, I realize we live in a society today where it's crazy. But listen, there's a lot I could say about that. God has told us before he comes back, it's going to kind of look like this. Can you imagine what it must have been like in Sodom and Gomorrah? We think that we're the only generation that's seeing things like this. But if you lived back in the time of Sodom and Gomorrah, I don't know if it was worse, but that was a bad time. So, you know, we've seen how sin never changes, by the way. As I've said before, the devil never, he's not very creative, the devil is not. He uses the same type ways to tempt and bring about sin in every generation. Some generations maybe are not as bad as other generations. But we're living in some times where I personally believe we're seeing that where it takes courage. It takes courage for men to stand up and be men. And we need men in our churches to stand up and be men. Not that we don't have good men here today, and I know we do. But boy, we need to train our future young people, especially our boys, to stand up and be men of God, right? And, you know, it was a challenge in Joshua's day. He saw the challenge. And God told him it was going to take courage. You see, why did Joshua need courage? Well, he needed courage because, you know, he was going to be faced with some tough situations. And challenging Joshua to be courageous, God simply assured him of his presence. Look in verse 5 and 6. Look there. He said, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses..." God reassures Joshua, "So I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee." Now, what we find in verse 5 and 6, we see the promise of God's divine power for Joshua's task that he was about to take on. Look in verse 6. God says, "Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear that as I swore unto their fathers to give to them."
What is this land? Well, this is the land that God promised in his covenant with Abraham, and often he reaffirmed later. In other words, God, when he makes a promise, he fulfills that promise. Now, it did not happen during Moses' time. Moses maybe thought he would be able to see the promised land, but he died before that took place. But this new generation that entered into the promised land that Joshua was now in charge of, they're going to experience something that God says he had promised several times before. And God fulfills his covenant through them. So the Lord promised Joshua that he would find success, as we see in verse 5 and 6. And if he faithfully meditated on and obeyed the scriptures, then he would find that great success that we all look for. Look in verse 8 and 9. "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe, that is, be careful to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." You want to find success? What God is telling Joshua? Meditate. Stay in the Word. Stay under the preaching and teaching of God's Word. Study the book. You see, the word meditate means to ponder, to comfort, or to take comfort. And by the way, that word meditate also involves reading and lingering in the Word with thoughtfulness. God's Word gives every one of us here today the assurance of God's staying sufficiency, which, by the way, provides courage. Why in the world do we think that we can handle life on our own when we know we cannot? And God was telling Joshua, it's going to take courage. What you're about to take on here, what you are taking on here, what you've seen Moses go through, is going to take great courage. And this is how you have the success to do it. Meditate on the Word of God. By the way, the word meditate again means to take comfort in the Word of God. Every time that we read the Word of God, it ought to be that we ponder it to the point to, yes, it not only brings us comfort, but it's where we just take time to linger there for a little while. The Word of God is that staying sufficiency. By the way, when we're dead and gone, this book's going to still be around, because there's staying sufficiency that's found in this book. You know, there's people that have tried to wipe out the Bible. It'll never happen. Now, yes, somebody could come and take our Bibles away in our homes, but that doesn't mean that God's Word is stamped out. It's going to always be around. Why? Because this is a living book. It can never die off. The devil would love for you to destroy it. The devil would love for you to stop reading it, as some maybe have already. The devil would love for you to not to memorize it, not to meditate on it, just to forget about it. But God says, you want success, Joshua? As men of God, we want success? Then meditate on the Word of God. Why did Joshua need courage? Well, again, he was taking on something that it was going to require courage. Second point this evening, why did God command Joshua? What did God command Joshua concerning being courageous? What did God command Joshua concerning being courageous? Notice, first of all, that the word courage, many of you know that word courage is a quality of mind or spirit that enables us to meet danger, that enables us to meet that opposition or the challenges that come our way in life with fearlessness, with calmness, and firmness. That's what really courage can kind of be summed up as. Someone, in other words, who has courage, you know, can face whatever comes at them. But, you know, more so when the Christian, when Christians depend upon God for courage, then really it makes that battle much easier to take on. You see, just because we have courage doesn't mean that we'll not be afraid. You know, I'm not standing up here trying to sound like we've got to be supermen and superwomen of God, that we never show that there's no fear. You know, someone who has courage may still feel afraid, but through the power of God, we can act with confidence. There's a lot that I'm afraid of, as I've already demonstrated about the snake. But there's a lot in ministry that sometimes brings fear. And to some degree, I can relate to maybe Moses, and I'm sure not putting myself up in that position of where he was as a man of God. But ministry can be that way. Being a Sunday school teacher or just being actively involved in serving God sometimes can be a fearful thing when you're dealing with people and when you're dealing with problems, because you never know what's going to come at you from a day-to-day basis. You know, as a parent, the same applies. It takes courage, but there's sometimes it's a fearful thing to be a parent. It's a fearful thing to be a dad, because you're hoping you're making the right decisions, and you've hoped you made, as you look back, that you made the right decisions sometimes in raising your children. And you know, we cannot live our life constantly being afraid, but we know that's part of our nature sometimes, to deal with fear. But through the power of God, God can help us to overcome that fear with His confidence. That's what He was relaying to Joshua. He wasn't telling Joshua, you know, don't ever think that you're not going to be afraid. But Joshua, you can handle this with the kind of courage I give you, with confidence. You know, God also wanted Joshua to seek divine wisdom. He wanted Joshua to seek divine wisdom and not human logic to guide the nation. I mean, the natural tendency is maybe to read more books on how somebody's doing a job here to get something done, to be successful. But really what God was telling Joshua, to seek that divine wisdom. And you've got over 2 million people that you're going to be leading, Joshua. You know, if Joshua's confidence had been in himself, if Joshua had his confidence in his military experience, he may have resisted God's unorthodox but highly successful plan to defeat Jericho. Have you noticed sometimes in reading the Scripture, God does some things that's a little bit, in our way of thinking, odd. And I don't mean that to say God is bad in any way. It's just that sometimes you see God, how He does some things in Scripture, and you read about how He did some things, and you're thinking, well, I've never thought of it that way. I would have probably done it differently. In other words, God's way may seem unorthodox to us. God's way, in most cases, are not our ways. Sometimes God may do things that may seem, yeah, that's out of the ordinary. But you know what? It always works out for our good, doesn't it? I mean, just for Jonah to be swallowed up by a whale. I mean, I read that story and, you know, Jonah swallowed by a whale. You know, I don't know if I would have done that to poor old Jonah, would you? Poor old Jonah had to spend 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a whale. I mean, I've never been in a belly of a whale, but I've cleaned fish before, and boy, it's gross. They still use that term? But listen, can you imagine? And then, now, this big old giant comes up at you, at least 9 foot tall Goliath comes at you, and you know, mocking you and making fun of you, and all God gives you is a slingshot. And says, just use it. He has, how many stones? Is it 5? 3 or 5? I ought to know the story. 5. He didn't need but 1. That's the way God does things sometimes. Did that happen? How about Daniel going into the lion's den? Poor old Daniel had to experience going in the lion's den and sitting with those hungry lions for a while. But what does God do? God does what He always does. He takes care of the lions. I feel for the lions a little bit. They were hungry. But God shuts the mouth up. And they're over there trying to lick their lips, and they couldn't even do that. But you know what? That's the way God works. God does some things that may seem unorthodox to us, different. I wouldn't do it that way, you may think. But you know what? Aren't you thankful you're not God and I'm not God? I mean, there'd be some people that probably I'd do away with today because I think that, boy, they don't deserve to live when they kill little innocent babies or whatever and, you know, just take care of them on the spot. That sounds evil, preacher. Well, you know what? That's why I'm not God. I'm not God because my human nature, human nature is evil in and of itself. You know, we would do things differently. But God, with His great love, has proven His love over 2,000 years ago on the cross of Calvary. Now, again, you know, He did something that no man would do. No man could do, but He did for us. But the Lord wanted Joshua to seek divine wisdom. Why did God command Joshua? What did He command Joshua concerning being courageous? Seek wisdom. Seek divine wisdom. God also told Joshua that if he obeyed the law of Moses, he would have success. Look in verse 7. He says, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe, that is to be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper, that is, you have success, whithersoever thou goest. Now, in essence, this is the key to our success too, even as dads today. You want to have success? Then obey God's law. Obey God's word. You know, we no longer have to obey the laws given to the Jews in Exodus and Deuteronomy about sacrificial rituals and dietary practices. Listen, aren't you thankful for that? I mean, we're not having to kill animals as a sacrifice or eat a certain diet of food. Listen, That'd be hard to do if you couldn't. I cooked a Boston butt this past week, and boy, we had some good barbecue. You know, I smoked it on the grill, and boy, you know, I like that. But you know what? That wouldn't work in some of the biblical dietary plans back then. Listen, we're not under that kind of law. But you know what? what kind of law that God was commanding Joshua to abide by. He was telling Joshua to abide by the moral commands that's given to Moses and the other biblical writers. You know, we like to make excuses of why I can't obey this command or God or that command. You know, there's a lot of moral laws that are being broken today in our generation, aren't they? There's a lot of things that as a nation we're having to pay the price of because we're not willing to follow this book that God's given us. God doesn't want us to follow the rituals and some of the practices that were done by the children of Israel that really was not of God anyway. But God wants, He expects us to follow this book as He lays it out very clear. You see, in doing so, that gives us courage to take a stand. The Lord made a marvelous promise to Joshua that he says, I'll be with you no matter what happens. In verse 5, look there, if you would. He says, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. There's the promise. And then, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Now, you know, if you've accepted the Father's gift of salvation, we all have that same assurance today, don't we? When God says in John chapter 14 to the disciples that He'll never leave us nor forsake us, He was getting ready to ascend up into heaven. And He told them, He says, listen, before I go, I'm going to send you a comforter who's going to be with you at all times. Now, Jesus, every time we walk in this room, He's right here. Every time you get in your vehicle as a believer, He's right there with you. Wherever you go in your house, He's right there with you. You see, you may be a widow or a widower here this morning. Listen, there's sometimes it's lonely. And sometimes there's no one that seems to you can talk to. Well, thank God we have the presence of God with us, don't we? Through the Comforter. And that's what Jesus told to the disciples in John 14, that I'll not leave you comfortless, but I'll leave you with a comforter, and that is the Holy Spirit of God who will be with you at all times. You see, the Lord made a marvelous promise to Joshua in that same fashion. You know, we need to live knowing that God will provide and that He will never leave us. He's our comforter. Then thirdly, what can we do to develop courage? I mean, wouldn't you agree? There's times, preacher, I face fears. We all do. And there's times I need God's courage. Like Joshua was going to need. You know, we all need courage. It's time, really, as I said earlier, for us to be courageous Christians today. The world would like for us, and this is the world's idea of church, it's okay to have church, but don't bring it outside these doors. The ACLU would be fine with us having church, but don't bring it outside these doors, although they try to say that they represent people who want to have free speech, but they really don't. You know, the atheists are okay with you having church. If you're going to have it, keep it inside these doors. But you see, it takes courage to go outside these doors. It takes courage to go outside these doors and to fulfill the commission that God has given us all to fulfill. And that is to go in the highways and the hedges and where the fields are wide unto harvest and to share and plant that gospel seed that God's given us. It takes courage. So what can we do to develop courage? Well, God says to Joshua, meditate on God's word. In other words, instead of just quickly reading a large portion, sometimes, you know, we like to say, well, I read the Bible all the way through, preacher. And by the way, that's a great thing to do. But sometimes it may do us good just to pause daily. And just rather than feel like I've got to read 3 chapters today or 10 chapters today to make sometimes me feel good, but maybe take and just read a small portion. And just read that small portion, that passage, and really think about the message that God gives us and ask God for help in interpreting and applying it to yourself. Meditating on God's Word involves 4 things I want to give you real quickly. Number one, it involves a quiet spirit. Meditating on God's Word just involves a quiet spirit with God. Just you and God. And then secondly, it involves a that time where you sharpen your perception. In other words, like Psalm 119, verse 105 says about the Word of God, the Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know, God's Word will sharpen the perception. Sometimes it's hard to see. It's a little bit foggy. We wake up in life when that spiritual decision we're having to make, we want God's direction on that life's mate that He's going to have us marry one day, or maybe that job that God would have us to take on, or that college that some of you young people are praying about attending, whatever it is. Again, you know, there's a lot of things that we're faced with in life. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That is the idea that God's Word, in other words, will provide that illumination without stumbling. You see, sometimes we're afraid to step out. Sometimes we're afraid to trust God because, you know what? I don't know if I'm going to stumble or not. I may fail in this area of my life. And Joshua, you have to believe that Joshua was a little bit afraid of stepping out. Don't you agree? I mean, he was going to have to deal now with the people that Moses, some of them that he was dealing with, and he'd seen some of the past that Moses had went through. You know, that had to be a little fearful thing. But to sharpen his perception, he had to trust in the fact that God would be the light for his path. And then a third thing on meditating God's Word, our goal should be to purify our hearts. To purify our hearts. Look over with me, if you would, in Hebrews chapter 4, if you want, in verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Paul writes over here, and it's a familiar passage, but Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, Paul says, "For the word of God is quick." Now, the word quick there means it's living. And powerful, it's active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of the soul of the spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner. It's able to judge, in other words, our thoughts and our intents of the heart. You see, God's Word will purify our heart. Some of the Hebrews were merely going through the motives, the motions of belonging to Christ, as we see a lot of Christians today. They're going through the motions of, I'll get up and go to church, I'll read my Bible, I'll pray, but really they're not benefiting from it because, you know, their heart's not in it. They're just doing that good deed that they feel like they need to do. Listen, rather than going the motions of Christ, we need to intellectually take in what God has for us by meditating on the Word of God and purify our heart. And then the fourth thing, clarify your direction. What can we do to develop courage? Well, we meditate on God's Word, and when we do, it clarifies our direction. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, many of you know it. What does it say? Trust in the Lord. Say it with me if you know it. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge who? Him. And He'll do what? He'll direct your path. That's the promise God gives us. In other words, when God directs our path, He makes it clear for us. That decision that's weighing on your shoulders right now, or something that you're going to be faced with in the near future, for a child of God, we sure need God's clarification on some things, don't we? Some of you may have to make some tough decisions in the next few years that you thought you'd never be faced with as a parent, or as a husband or a wife or whatever. You know, it's best to have God's clarification on that. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Let Him direct your path. You know, what can we do to develop courage? And the last thing we need to recall, sometimes it's good for us to recall past experiences of how God's been faithful to us. It's important to recall, to remember those past experiences of how God's been faithful to us. You know, sometimes it's easy for us to forget of what God's done for us in the past. That's what happened with the children of Israel. I mean, here, God had led them out of Egypt. They were in bondage. And now they're experiencing freedom they'd never known. And all of a sudden now, they had forgotten what God had led them out of. And they even to the point they wanted to go back after they started wandering in the wilderness. You know, God is faithful. It'd do us well to remember the way that we relied on the Lord's previous crisis and how God's goodness carried us through the difficulties. I remember when 9/11 took place in our country, when the terrorists hit the towers in New York and in Washington, D.C., you know, how churches and God's people came together for weeks and months and just began to pray for our nation, and there were prayer meetings all over. But it wasn't long after that we had forgotten as a nation. In church, we've still forgotten. To the point where I never thought that we'd be where we're at as a nation. Because I thought 9/11 surely is going to change our nation back, turn it back to God. Because you see, there was a lot of cries for God to help us as a nation, to wake up, bring revival. I remember prayer meetings like that. But now there's a lot of marching out on the streets and people don't know what gender they are today. You know, you got lifestyles, immorality that just, I mean, I would never thought our Supreme Court just a few years ago would have said that listen, we're going to do away with family, with marriage, when they basically said, hey, you know, if you can marry whoever you want to marry. And it won't be long. Listen, you think I'm crazy in what I'm about to say, but it's coming down the pike. It's already there. That bestiality is knocking on the door. Bestiality. That if I want to marry a dog or a cat, I can marry a dog or a cat. You say, well, preacher, that's crazy. It's already been talked about. Now, listen, folks, there's a lot of this that I'm talking about today was going on during this time period of what Joshua was putting up with. Oh, it takes courage. How do we have courage? Observe the courage of others. Recall the past experiences of God's faithfulness. Observe the courage of others. As followers, as fellow believers, you know, it's always good. What encourages me sometimes is to think back upon the courage of others who have stood for God. Our biblical forefathers like the Apostle Paul and Peter who have stood for God. Then we need to ask a critical question. I ask this of you today. Maybe ask it of yourself. If I don't obey God, what's going to happen? I mean, if our nation doesn't obey God, what will happen to our nation? The Bible's already described that. But if you as an individual this morning, you need to ask the question, if you don't obey God, what will happen? Well, I'll tell you. The Bible's already made it clear that every action, whether good or bad, has consequences. Rebelling against the Lord may seem like an easier path, but you know what? It will ultimately be painful trusting and obeying God the way that God would have us to obey. Because you see, God intends to bring us back. God intends to. And all we have to do is to look around at those who once stood for God and see the path they're on today. I mean, find somebody that, boy, used to serve God. Find somebody who used to be faithful in church. What kind of path are they on today? You know, without being judgmental. We don't want to be critical. Our prayers ought to be that for people like that, that God would get them back. But you want to find what their life is like? Just look at it. I have a lot of phone calls sometimes I've had a lot over the years of people who've called me that used to go to church, used to be involved in church, said, preacher, I need help. And you know what? I'm glad to be there to help. But you know what? My heart breaks. But you have to get to the point to where sometimes God has to take you to that point to where you have to cry out, I need help. We saw the example of that in Scripture in Luke 15, the prodigal son. Oh, listen, we need to recall God's promise to be with us at all times. The Lord told Joshua that he would never forsake him. You see, through Scripture, you and I have been given the same assurance, haven't we? Our all-powerful, omnipotent God has all power to guide us and to bring us success in our lives. Is that what you're willing to claim today? But it's going to take courage. Would you stand with me with heads bowed? Thank you for listening along this morning with our heads bowed. And we pray from our seat to God.